invite you to make your way back to your seats. And as you do, I'd love if you could take your copy of God's Word and turn in it to Matthew chapter 6. For the sake of our guests, I don't think I said my name earlier when I was doing the announcements. My name is Jeremy, and it's a joy of mine to be able to serve in this church as one of the pastors. I know I welcomed you, but I just wanted to introduce myself as well. And as our guests, you find us in a series called Life Together. What we're talking about is, what does it mean for believing people gathered in the church? What does it look like for us to do church? What are the things that God in His Word says that are really important for us as a body of people to be about? And in one sense, the rest of our lives could be in this series, so at some point we will conclude it, trust me. However, we just continue to find things that are critical for us. And in fact, yesterday, I want to say to the men in the church, thank you so much for coming out to the men's breakfast. We had around 50 men yesterday. Some of the young men were out. It was awesome. Some of the dudes. And then from the younger ones, teenage boys all the way on up, it was great to be together. We worshiped and we enjoyed God's presence and we prayed together and we sang together. And in the process of doing all that, I had prepared like a 10-minute devotional on this verse that we're in this morning. And as we were singing and praying, I just sensed that this verse or that devotional was not for just the men yesterday, but actually for all of us as a church body. And so I switched gears and made the 10-minute devotional, you know, a little bit longer, maybe 12. We'll be together this morning. But if you haven't, amen. I heard it. So keep me to it. We will be out by 12:30 at least. So turn with me to if you haven't yet gotten there, to Matthew 6. We're going to drop into this context. What's happening here? What's happening here is this is the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus' most famous sermon. And why is it most famous? Because it's the best of his sermon? No, every word that flowed from the mouth of Jesus is the word of God. But it's most famous because he hits on these core issues of the Christian life. And he sets forward for us in his speaking this truth. He sets for us a way forward. And in this case, what to seek after in all of our lives. And so I'm eager to read this and to jump in. We're actually, this is going to be a message on just one verse, but for context, I want to read the verses that are around it. So we're going to start at verse 25 again, Matthew 6, verse 25. We'll read through 34. We'll be concentrating on verse 33. This is the word of God. Let us hear it. And in so hearing, hear God himself. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Lord, we hear these words and we submit to them. We hear these words that are recorded for us, the words of your Son, Jesus, the one who came to give us life, not to take it away. And he tells us what to seek after in this life. And Lord, together we say, so often we do want to seek first the kingdom of God, but there's also competition in our hearts, and sometimes we can get off track in our seeking. And so we pray together this morning that you would stir us up by way of reminder from these things, that you would stir our hearts this morning through the words of Christ, that we may together again seek first your kingdom. Help us, Holy Spirit, bring to mind things. Illuminate your word in our hearts, we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The context, again, of Jesus' words of verse 33, the verse that we're going to focus on, is he's talking about anxiety. He's talking about worry. And my goodness, are we not due, in one sense, for a reminder about this call to lay down our anxieties? And yet that's not going to be the focus this morning. I will get to that on the third point just for a few minutes, but I really want to zone in. So if we can like take our zoom lenses and just look at verse 33 this morning, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I think if we just keep it simple this morning and focus on that one thing, if we focus on that one thing, actually, more than just anxiety will be addressed. More than just some things, like as we keep focus on him and on his kingdom, actually, it's going to help us in a bunch of different ways. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start talking about what it is that Jesus commends us to seek. We're going to define the kingdom of God and talk about that. And then, secondly, we're going to talk about how he calls us to seek it and what that looks like in our daily lives. And then we're going to remind ourselves of the dear and precious promise that he makes to us as we seek him and his kingdom. So let's start with the kingdom of God. Number one, we seek the kingdom of God. He says to do it. Seek first the kingdom of God. Well, what is the kingdom of God? Let's define it. Jesus speaks often of his kingdom in the Gospels. In fact, 126 times in the Gospels does Jesus speak of his kingdom. In fact, in just Matthew alone, 55 times, I didn't count them, someone else did, but 55 times Jesus speaks of his kingdom in this gospel alone. Now, you would think that if he speaks so often about his kingdom, it's kind of like he's pointing a big neon arrow to that word or that phrase, the kingdom of God, and he's saying to us, hey, dear friend, pay attention. Take notice of how often I'm saying this. This is crucial for us. So let's talk about what does it mean? What does the kingdom of God mean? Well, in my various readings this week and then in my own thoughts, here's what I believe a biblical definition of the kingdom of God is. It's his righteous rule and his reign in our hearts. That's what it is. The kingdom of God. When Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, he's talking about his righteous reign and his righteous rule in our hearts and in our lives. See, it's a kingdom that stands in stark contrast to the rule of the kingdoms around us. The kingdom of God is inaugurated when we, by faith, place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to save us from our sins. Then, when we are born again, we are walking in the kingdom of God because we are now under the influence of our King. And our King, his name is Jesus. So when he says, seek first the kingdom of God, he's speaking to people so that they might seek after his rule and his reign. In other words, that we will gladly submit our hearts and our lives to our King. His name is Jesus. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God. See, we heard this earlier this morning. Actually, we were once people, all of us, every one of us in this room, we were once people who were under the influence of darkness. We were once under the influence of sin. That was the prevailing influence on our lives. We had no ability, none, to please God. We couldn't glorify Him. We were under another kingdom. But being born again, we are now into the kingdom of God. And Jesus is saying something to us in our modern world. On November 3rd, 2019, Jesus is saying something to us. He's saying, seek the kingdom of God. Now, why does He need to say that? What other kingdom is there? Well, see, Jesus knows something about you and I. He knows that there, in fact, are other kingdoms, like the kingdom of self, right? So, He's saying, don't seek any other kingdom like the kingdom of yourself. Rather, seek the kingdom of God. Jesus is the one that we seek when we seek the kingdom of God. So another way of saying it is, He's saying, dear people, dear people of Grace Community Church, seek Jesus first. Seek Him first in our hearts and in our lives, because Jesus knows that we are as people. Is this not true? Test this. Are we not hardwired to seek after something or someone? Are we not hardwired for worship, whether it be the worship of God or worship of someone else or worship of some scenario? We are made for worship. The question is not, do you worship? The question is, what or whom do you worship? See, He knows that we're not just going to wander along in our whole lives. Eventually, at some point, we decide to focus on something. We decide to seek after something. And a lot of us, sometimes we can make it our goal to seek first wealth, or seek first knowledge, or seek first achievement, or seek first success, or education, and all kinds of things. But Jesus knows something else about us. Not only that we're hardwired to seek after things, but He knows that those things don't deliver. They just don't bring us the kind of joy that we're actually seeking while we seek those things. He knows it. So out of love, he says to these people, seek first the kingdom of God. See, He knows our inclinations. He knows that we're looking for satisfaction. He knows that we're longing deep within our hearts to be satisfied. He knows it. And He knows the only thing that satisfies is Himself. And so He says, dear friends, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteous reign and rule in our hearts. See, this is such a stark contrast to what our culture sells us all the time. I mean, what is our culture saying right now in November of 2019? Our culture is saying, be the best version of yourself. However you define that to be, it doesn't matter how you define yourself. Just be true to yourself, and in being true to yourself, you will find satisfaction. Okay, maybe we're not saying that last part about satisfaction, but that's implied. Like, you be true to yourself. It's like the golden rule of our culture is to be true to yourself. And if you're not true to yourself, you can never find satisfaction. You can never find purpose if you're not true to yourself. And what the scripture says to that is such a huge lie. Don't buy it. You could never find satisfaction in yourselves. Our satisfaction, we said it already a couple of times this morning, our satisfaction is only found in Christ alone. And so Jesus is saying the most kind words He could possibly say when He calls to us this morning, right now, and He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Don't seek after the kingdom of wealth. Don't seek after the kingdom of popularity. Don't seek after the kingdom of being
in the situation where you don't need anything else. Don't seek after any of those things. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's not like achievement or success or knowledge or training or those things. It's not like those things are inherently evil. They're not. But if we seek after those things first, if they become our first priority, Jesus knows that we will walk through life without being satisfied. Seek my kingdom first. So we seek his kingdom. We seek his righteousness. He says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. We seek to live in a way that lives out, works out our salvation with fear and trembling. And we are created in the image of God. And as we grow in more Christ-likeness, you know what was going to come? His righteousness will flow out of us. Not in a preachy, self-righteous kind of way. Rather, the kind of way that Micah 6:8 describes. What does the Lord desire for you? But that you would walk humbly, do justly before your God. That's what he's saying. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteous rule and his righteous reign. I think appropriate prayers that we can pray that help us are to say things like, Lord, I submit my heart to you today. Lord, my heart is yours. Lord, help me to listen to your word and respond to your word, because I want to seek after your kingdom and your righteousness. And Lord, I don't want to take my cues from the culture all around me that says, no, the kingdom that's really worthwhile is not the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of self. No, Lord, I say no to that kingdom, and I seek first you. I put my desire on you. You are my priority, Lord. I'm going to seek you first. Jesus comes to us, not just to these seated on this hillside. Jesus comes to you this morning. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first my righteousness. Reign in your heart. Now, how do we have the courage to seek him first when at times it seems like seeking him first is going to bring onto ourselves difficulty? Because if we are seeking him first, do you know what is true? Well, a couple of things are true. We will have great joy, but that joy will be marked at times by sorrow. Because when we seek first the kingdom of God, do you know what we're going to do? When called upon and when led by the Holy Spirit to speak, we're going to speak words that are not popular in our day and age. We're going to speak words that contradict the spirit of the age. And there are going to be times when people aren't going to like the words that come out of our mouth when we're speaking the word of God. I think I told you about a year and a half ago that I saw on the National Library Association that they have this list of books that are the most to be steered away from. I forget the actual wording that was used. And number two book on that list in the National Library Association of books to be steered away from, number two on the list, was the Bible, our National Library. More and more, as we seek first the kingdom of God, there will be times, dear friends, when it will be costly to seek first the kingdom of God. But we seek first the kingdom of God, not because we just bear and grit the cost. We seek first the kingdom of God because we seek Jesus himself. We seek him. We want him. In the presence of him is the fullness of joy, and we seek the kingdom of God. So, seek first the kingdom of God. Secondly, what does this look like to seek first the kingdom of God? We've established that the seeking of the kingdom of God is his righteous reign and rule in our hearts. But what does this look like? Well, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. In fact, there's a present indicative. If you're geeking out on English, if you like that stuff, like there's a present indicative, which means it's this ongoing seeking first of the kingdom of God. It's not like at the time of your conversion when you knelt your knee and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. And God regenerated you. Now, that's not the only time you seek first the kingdom of God. It's this regular occurrence where we're laying down the things that pop up like a whack-a-mole. There's always things that like pop up in our lives to compete for the kingdom of God. We just daily say, Lord, I lay down myself and I take upon myself your kingdom, your values, the things that matter to you, Lord, make them matter to me. At times, I'm not very good at this. The things that matter to God sometimes matter to me, right? Are you with me? Sometimes they matter to me, but sometimes they don't. I need the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me to help me. And so I pray, Lord, help me to want to seek first your kingdom. Make it my top priority. I don't think seeking him first means that, you know, at the end of the day, when we're laying our head on the pillow, right before we fall asleep, it's like, oh yeah, that's right. I was supposed to seek you first today, Lord. I don't think that's what he's talking about. He means making him top priority. Priority over sleep so that we get up and we read, not out of some legalistic duty, but because we want to. Because when we come to Jesus, what we find is grace and help in our time of need. See, seek first the kingdom means that it's above all else. And these are active words. Let me speak to the husbands in the room. Seek first the kingdom of God. When you were seeking after your wife, this was not a passive activity. Am I right? When you first laid your eyes on that girl and you decided, okay, that's the one I'm going to go after, you weren't like, yeah, maybe if I get around to it, I'll do that. No, what was the manner of your seeking? It was active, right? You went out, you got flowers, you actually tucked your shirt in for once. You did things that made you look attractive. For some of us, that's harder than others, right? You sought her and you put effort into it. See, here's the thing. We do not drift into seeking first the kingdom of God. I don't. You know where I drift? I drift away from the kingdom of God. I drift away. So Jesus, again, he's kind, he's loving. He's saying, make it your top priority to seek first the kingdom of God. Set our hearts and affections on it. Make it a top priority. So last night, I go home for dinner from the church office, and it was just one of those dinners where it was just like, you know, let's just veg out. My brain was a bit tired from doing some things that I was doing. It was like, I clicked on the TV. Well, what was on the TV around 6:30 last night? A horse race. Did anyone watch it? Okay, three people watched it. Hopefully you weren't betting on that horse race, but we know what horse racing is all about. So I clicked on this. Actually, Julie clicked it on. I was like, keep it. I want to see this thing. I don't relate to this world of horse racing. So we watched it. And you know what I was impressed with? In fact, we have a picture of the winner. That dude, I don't know his name, but the horse is called UNI, Uni. I don't know if they had, was a unicorn, they shaved it off, so they just called it Uni. But that is the horse that won the race last night. It was like 60 seconds or whatever, and the race was done. And I was thinking about it, like, could you just saunter into the Breeders' Cup one day with your pony, having not trained yourself, and just kind of show up? You're like, hey, I'm here for the race. I mean, would you have any chance of even getting out of the gate, much less winning the race, if you just kind of like, I haven't trained. I don't really know this pony that well, but it's a pony. I want to win the race. No, look at the pursuit. I mean, that guy is trim. He has worked out. He's got himself ready. How is he motivating that horse? Not by, oh, come on, Uni, you can do it. He's whacking that thing. I mean, you see the thing in his hand. He's motivating. Nobody is showing up at this race casually. They are seeking something. About 6 million things, I think, was the purse prize. You get the point. Nobody shows up to this race trying to win doing so casually with their thumbs in their pockets. No, they're seeking first something. It's not the kingdom of God in this moment. They're seeking first the $6 million purse. You see where I'm going. I'm not trying to say that the Christian life is a 60-second sprint around the track. And so, like, yeah, let's work hard for, like, a few hours, a few days, a few years, and then we can relax. No, it doesn't say relax as you enter the kingdom of God. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit who lives inside of our hearts. We cooperate with him and we seek first the kingdom of God. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, thank God we have the Holy Spirit to motivate us. I think the question for us this morning, if you're a believer here this morning, the question is, are you cooperating with what the Holy Spirit desires to do? Because this is what he desires to do. Help us to die to the things that dull our passion for the kingdom of God and be awakened to the things that excite us for the kingdom of God. And so let me ask you, might there be things in your heart and in my heart that dull us to seeking after the kingdom of God? Might there be things that we hold in our hand that we scroll through regularly that dull us to seeking first the kingdom of God? You know what? Someday this week I woke up and the first thing I did was check social media. I was like, this is nuts. What am I doing? I don't need to have any update. I need an update from him. Getting his word. And you know, okay, so no condemnation. Big deal. I checked social media before I read the Bible. Well, you know what? If you think it's no big deal, you know what's probably going to happen is you're going to do that more and more and more until you wake up one day and, you know, you're not really reading the word. You're just scrolling through. You're like, maybe you'll listen to a podcast on the way. I away from legalism, just saying, Jesus says here, seek him first. I need that. You need that. We all need this very simple reminder. Seek me first, he says to us. Seek my kingdom first. It makes a difference. You know what? This makes a difference with how we spend our money, doesn't it? We heard a message a few weeks ago on generous giving, not under compulsion from any man, but generous giving because God has worked in our hearts. Well, how does that happen? It happens as we seek him first. You know, what I see in this church, which is such a grace upon us, is people who so willfully give of their time to serve one another. I'm regularly astounded by how you do that. Well, how does that happen all the more into our future? It happens as we seek Jesus first. And isn't it amazing how short a one-hour TV show can appear to us when we're sitting on the couch and how long 1 hour of serving someone else can be? We know what changes that as we seek Jesus first, as we yield to his righteous reign and rule, we will want to serve others and give and help out where we can. See, Jesus knows what's going to bring us satisfaction, and it's not watching that rerun on Vudu. That's not going to bring us the satisfaction. I'm not saying we can't relax. I am saying in all of life, let us, dear church, seek first. I'm preaching myself, friends. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh God, help us. We don't drift this way. We drift away from him. Help us to do this. Now, let me transition here for a moment to look at the promise that God makes to us as we seek him first. So he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness as we live it out. And all these things, what does he say? What does the text say? They will be added to you. So God makes a promise that as we seek him, he will add things to us. We won't be anxious about things because we're aware of his benevolent rule. We are children of the king. So one implication of seeking first the kingdom of God is that our anxieties will decrease as we seek first the kingdom of God. Here's how he illustrates it. He says in this passage three times, he says, don't worry. Three different times in this one short passage. So he says, here's how to decrease anxiety. Can you imagine, let me just pause for a moment. Can you imagine going into a counselor? You're like, I got a lot of anxiety in my life, and I just need help. And so you go and you set up an appointment with a counselor, and you get in there and you sit on the couch, and you just start saying, boy, I just have a lot of anxiety, and it's about this and this and this, and I struggle, and my stomach feels like it's churning sometimes, actually a lot of times, and you're describing this, and then your counselor all of a sudden just stops you and says, I have counsel for you. And you're like, okay, waiting on the edge of your seat, what is the counselor going to say? Can you imagine that counselor, and he just says, stop being anxious. Like there's a Bob Newhart clip that some of you might have seen before, right? Can you imagine if that's what God did here in his word? Just stop it. Stop being anxious. He doesn't do that. He's kind. He's gracious. He makes the promise of his truth that we actually can stop being anxious. He relates that to his character, to his kingly rule over our lives and in our hearts. He says this, as you seek me first, you will be aware of something. You'll be aware that I am a good God. You'll be aware as you seek me first that I'm a good king, a righteous king, a benevolent king, that I'm always acting and I'm always working for your good and for my glory. I'm always at work. Doesn't matter where you are today. God's at work in you. He's working for your good. And so as you and I seek first the kingdom of God, do you know what happens? Our anxieties drop because we're aware of the nature and the character of our king. We'll be more familiar with our king. We've been seeking him first. We've been spending time with him. Therefore, our anxieties go down. And to illustrate, I love this. He just uses a natural illustration from the birds. Now, birds, what are birds? Birds are a lower form of creation. They're not created in the image of God. They're not given souls. Birds are just part of his creation. In fact, he says they neither reap nor sow nor gather into barns. Yet here's what he says. Yet your Father, your heavenly Father, feeds them. So he's saying, look, even though birds are part of God's creation, they're not you. They're not made in God's image. They don't have a soul. And if God cares for even those birds, do you not think that he's not going to care for you? Do you not think you're way more valuable than birds? Do you not think that he's going to care for you? I was reading John Stott. He's a really great author. In his commentary on Matthew, and he records this anonymous lyric, and I just want to read it to you. He says this, the two birds are talking. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Luther, actually, Martin Luther, the theologian, he said of this passage in Matthew and these verses, he said, Jesus is making the birds our schoolmasters and our teachers. In fact, to take it one step further, Stott, John Stott, this Anglican priest who was just a wonderful proclaimer of the word, he's no longer alive. He was an avid bird watcher. And he said, I stand on biblical merit that in the original language, Jesus is commanding us to look at the birds for a particular reason. He said, if you take time to actually stop your busyness, you're rushing around, and actually look at the birds and think about them, something happens. I did it this morning, actually, at the church office. I got up from my computer, and I went over to the window, and I just looked out at the birds. You may think, you have lost your mind. Well, here's what I did. I looked at those birds, and I said, Lord, you created every one of these. Not one of these is going to fall apart from your knowledge. That's what the word says. They don't have houses. They don't have barns. You care for every one of them. Forgive me for doubting that you're going to take care of me. It's a nice day today. Take 5 minutes and look at the birds. If we're all gathered together, somebody say, there's a bunch of loony people right there. We're looking at the birds, but the birds are a reminder that God, in his sovereign and perfect care, if he cares for those birds, he didn't die for the birds, he died for you. And if he would die to rescue and redeem you, if he cares for birds, do you think that he's not going to care for you? Dear friends, I'm preaching myself because I can be anxious. Because I can forget the nature of my Father. If he loves me that much to redeem me at the greatest cost of the Son of God, with whom he had perfect fellowship for all eternity past, that he would love me and you enough to pour out on his perfect Son the wrath against our sins. If he would love me that much, is he not going to care for all of my needs? Look at what it says here. And all these things will be, dear friends, they will be added to you. Maybe they won't be added to you in the way that you want. Maybe they won't be added to you in the way that you are praying for. But God promises that they will be added. That he will take care of you. So, what do we say? We say, Lord, help us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and help us to believe that all these things, in fact, will be added to us. As we think about this, let me ask you a few questions. In what ways might the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, be leading you to seek him first? Maybe your own seeking after the Lord first and foremost has become dull. Maybe you are on social media to the degree that you're not reading the word of God and seeking him first by being around him. Maybe other things are crowding out your prayer life and you're really not praying. Jesus is here this morning and he's saying, oh, dear friend, seek me first, because in my presence there is that fullness of joy. So are there things that are dulling your pursuit of his kingdom first in your heart? And dear friend, be honest. Be honest. Are there things that you just need to put aside? Like a dear friend who recently deleted their Instagram account saying, you know what? I'm giving myself too much to this. I'm not doing it anymore. Delete. I applaud that. If Instagram or TikTok or whatever it is competing for your affection for God, get rid of it. seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Man, help us to believe this. And all these things will be added to you. Friends, we have the opportunity to do this together, don't we? That's why we gather care groups this week. That's why we have opportunity to pray together. I'm going to somebody's house today where we'll have fellowship, where we'll be talking together about seeking first the kingdom of God. Lord, help us, right? Lord, help us to lay down our kingdoms and with great joy seek first the kingdom of God. Let's pray together. Father, it's the words of Christ that we long to hear, not the words of some preacher. It's the words of Christ. And Jesus, in this word this morning, is extending to us an invitation to come. He's extending to us an invitation to come and seek him first again, that he would receive the top place in our hearts. That if need be, we say absolutely no to the things that dull us in our pursuit of his kingdom. The things that get in the way of his righteous reign and rule in our hearts. And Lord, we say no to that stuff so that we can say yes to him. Lord, we thank you for this word. I need this word. We need this word. So we say, Lord, at the end here, take our life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take our hands. Take our eyes, Lord. Take our ears. Take our minds. Take our hearts. May they be yours, Lord. Might we seek after you. And in seeking after you, find the satisfaction of our souls, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us, we pray. We ask confidently, because you said they will be added to us as we come. So we ask this confidently because of your promise. We ask that you would be glorified in us. We pray it in Jesus' name.